From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of January 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. In agricultural news, members of the CFTC have voted for proposed new limits on speculators in futures markets. Russia is demanding U.S. poultry producers meet that nation's safety standards. And the EU may continue, even increase support for farmers in the 27-nation economic community. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll explore volume, volatility, and index funds with U of I Ag economist Daryl Good. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the March wheat at $5.10, down 17 and three quarters. May at 5.23 and a half, 17 and one quarter lower. And the harvest month July at $5.34 and three quarters for the soft red, down 16 and three quarters. In Kansas City, March wheat for the hard red at $5.12, 15 cents lower. Back in Chicago, corn pit now. Nearby March futures at 371.5, down 9.5 cents. The May at 382.5, down 9.25. July at 391.5, down 9.5. And September at $3.99, down 9.25. December futures for corn, that's next year's crop, at $4.06, down 9.5. The March at 416.25 in 2011, down 9.5 as well. March oat futures, 231, down 15 cents. March soybean futures now, $9.74, a dime lower. May at 980.25, down 10.5 cents. July at 984.5, 11.5. And the August, 978, down 11.75. September futures, 958.25 in the bean pit, down 14.75. And November soybeans, 17.25 lower at $9.42.25. March bean meal at 291.70, up 130. March bean oil at 37.53, a dollar lower on the afternoon. From the Mercantile Exchange side of the CME Group, nearby February live cattle futures, 87.35, 70 cents higher. April's down 2.5 at 90.52.5. January feeders at 97.97.5, up 45 cents. And February lean hogs at $69.97.5, up 92.5 cents. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures have settled for the day at $78.03 a barrel in the February contract, down $1.36 today. Ethanol at $1.78, a penny and 9 cents lower. Natural gas at $5.69.5, down up 10.5 cents. RBOB gasoline at $2.04.5. 2.8 cents of a cent lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at 204.9 cents. That's 3.3 cents lower. And the gold futures at $1,130.10, down $12.50 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 10,576. It's just about 134 points lower on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar at 77.31 is up 0.59 for the day. The CRB index at 281.41. is down 3.02 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight from our own Ed Kieser and Mike Sola. They say partly to mostly cloudy skies, areas of fog. Lows will range this evening from 18 in far northwestern Illinois to 34 in the far south. Tomorrow in the north and in central sections, areas of fog early. Otherwise, partly to mostly sunny in the south, mostly cloudy, some patchy fog early. Highs will range from 35 in the far north to 50 in the far south. The extended forecast says a wet weather system will pass to our south over the weekend. The northern edge of the range with that system will likely put a little rainfall into the southern part of Illinois and Indiana on Saturday into early Sunday. Most of Illinois and Indiana, though, will likely stay dry until tomorrow, from about Tuesday on into next week. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, right here on Illinois Public Media. On the line with us this afternoon here on Illinois Public Media during the closing market report, Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, to discuss another down day in Chicago. It's been that way ever since Tuesday morning when USDA released its latest and final crop production figures and a look at the grain stocks report. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, I was hoping we could skip today, Todd.
No, you know, you were hoping for maybe some relief in the marketplace, but it just continues to push lower for the week. We're off, what, about 50 cents in both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, corn, beans, and almost 60 cents off in the March wheat. And, you know, it seemed like that the beans and the soy meal were doing their best to try and bring us back around a little bit and stimulate some short covering today up until lunchtime in Chicago. It looked like to me that maybe the crude oil started to break harder. It went through its 50-day moving average, and February crude went down to make a new three-week low by doing that. Seemed like once that happened, the bean oil got sicker than it already was, and that kind of pushed into the bean trade psychology, and it looked like maybe longs just threw in the towel at that point in the beans. We did see the meal come back, but I wonder if that's not because they were spreading the meal long against the bean oil short. So pretty rough day. We were hoping that the outside markets would hold in there. They haven't done a major any major technical damage, but boy, they sure have come close to it today. So it's going to be pretty important this next 45 minutes or so to see where the stocks close before this three-day holiday starts.
What do you think as a whole, what's happened in the marketplace for the week? How much has it changed the mood across the grains and oilseeds floors in Chicago and Minneapolis and in Kansas City?
It's been a sea shift, Todd. I think that's what I can report back to you from the people I've talked to, and not just at the floor and at the exchanges, but also at the producer level, too. But to give you an idea, there's been newswire story after newswire story and trader conversation after trader conversation this week about how surprising the USDA numbers were. But that's only half the story, because they not only were surprising, but the trade took them at face value, even though the USDA said very plainly that the data was as of late November, early December, and even though there was a significant unharvested acreage of corn in many key states and unharvested acreages of beans in many key states, they still put that unharvested area and expected production into the numbers Tuesday. And probably the most surprising thing to me was the trade took it at face value and acted like these were the final January numbers. So you have that on the micro level. And then you have the macro level of China kind of pushing on the brake pedal with their economy and instituting quite a few policy changes almost every day this week. And that brought the fear back to the outside markets on a macro level. We saw that with the dollar jumping and the U.S. bonds jumping. So as I've been describing it to clients, it's kind of almost a perfect storm of bearishness here this week. And I guess at the end of the week, being, you know, as frustrated and as worn out as producers are right now, I guess I feel like that the trade has factored in as much bearishness as they need to as far as the USDA numbers go, but it's these outside markets that continue to bother me.
All right, I wondered about that. So, and I was wondering the same thing, whether the trade had gotten through the report at this point, and what we're seeing now are other factors, and apparently that is the case, at least in your opinion. How difficult will next week be?
Well, I think that goes back to today, and it goes back to how we close out the outside markets and the psychology when we come back in after the three-day holiday. Sometimes a three-day holiday is the best recipe for breaking a trend. I sure hope so. And I think, you know, what you just said is absolutely correct. I think the only thing I'm, you know, what still concerns me as far as the USDA report goes is the wheat. You know, you can't do much about the wheat come March 10th. We got very bullish winter wheat acres on Tuesday's report, but everything else was just as bearish as it could be, in my view. So USDA isn't going to do much to help the wheat. At this point, for the wheat to get help, it's going to have to be probably a freeze scare, winter kill scare, something like that. But to have our ending stocks at where they're at, to have our exports the lowest since 1971-72, and yet we're seeing feed wheat being imported by the United States from Brazil into Wilmington, North Carolina, I think that speaks a lot of volumes to the trade up in Chicago. So, unfortunately, we've lost that wheat leadership to the upside, and that's what I've been talking to clients about since the report, is that there's one thing that's changed in the analysis at my desk right now, is that wheat's no longer a friend to the corn anymore. It's going to be a competitor from here on out, I'm afraid.
Well, I wonder about that. I mean, the numbers for this growing season are down, what, 6 million acres?
You know, you bring up a huge point. I went through those today, and if you take 73%, that's usually what winter wheat acres are of all wheat. And so if you take that 73%, you're looking at just under 51 million acres of all wheat this year. If you use a 45-bushel average yield and you give a pretty nice demand number of about 2.2 billion bushels for next year's marketing year, you're still looking at about 800 to 820 million bushels of carryover. So the 2010 looks nice at the surface, but when you dig in a little bit deeper, we're still going to have plenty both here and in the world. And you know, the worst thing about it, Todd, I think, or the worst thing of the two is the new crop acres also promote the idea that in the hard red acres, in the hard red winter wheat belt, you're going to see more oil seeds, and in the soft red wheat
more
belt,
corn.
You're going to see more corn. So I think that's already starting to get into the trade's mindset.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the second shoe that falls out of the USDA report, is that while the number for last year's crop was awful big, there are 6 million acres out there that can go someplace else. And then you have CRP. What's coming out in CRP, or has come out in CRP?
Well, and I think that's a big question mark, because you know, you're not going to have much come out. You're going to have re-enrollment if the February prices continue. I mean, we're getting our February break right now. So,
right. You
know, Dave asked me this morning about acreage and corn and beans. Do you buy more bean seed, more corn seed? You don't know now. Do you enroll back into CRP and not put acres, you know, back out into the system? You don't know right now, because if the beans keep falling, you're not going to need an acreage battle, and you're going to stick with rotation. And I would guess you're going to go ahead and try and re-enroll into CRP if you possibly can.
All right. Well, got any bottom lines for us today?
The best thing that happened today, we got to end this on a good note. The best thing that happened today for me was that we didn't take out the weekly low in the March beans at 969. That's a starting point for me coming into Tuesday.
All right. Well, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You too, and I'll be firing up the Turbo Prius and heading over there.
Oh, you're on for Commodity Week. Should be fun this afternoon. We have Chip Flory as a guest, too.
Fantastic. So. We'll see you then.
All right. Thank you much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mike Zuzulow is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, and he will be headed our way, that 90-mile trek to the studios here in Urbana-Champaign from Lafayette this afternoon. He'll be with us at about 4:30 today. We'll record, and then we'll post that to our website at willag.org by just about 6 o'clock this evening. You can listen to it anytime you'd like at willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Just a couple of reminders. If you'd like to hear what Mike Zuzulow has had to say, you can do that again on our website. The address, of course, willag.org. We've already talked about it just a bit. And you can also go to this phone line number. The number is 217-333-3434. That number again, 217-333-3434. They're at just about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year. We post some analysis and the numbers from either the opening markets or the closing markets. It's all at 217-333-3434. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Land-Grant University in Illinois on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll take a complete look at all the agricultural news for the day.
In agricultural news, members of the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission voted 4-1 to propose new limits on speculators who bet on energy prices in futures markets. But the majority of the commission expressed strong reservations about ultimately putting them into practice. the proposal, which aims to prevent what the CFTC calls excessive concentration in the energy markets, comes in response to criticism the CFTC faced in 2008 when oil prices skyrocketed to record highs. The CFTC's proposal seeks to impose trading limits on physically and financially settled oil, natural gas, heating oil, and gasoline futures and options contracts. Russia Prime Minister Vladimir Putin slammed U.S. poultry producers yesterday, demanding they comply with new rules that toughen Russia's standards for imported chicken. Putin says, quote, "If certain foreign suppliers don't want or aren't ready to meet our safety standards, then we will use other sources for supplies." Putin's comments came after new rules took effect in Russia on January 1st, banning the import of chicken treated with chlorinated water. Russia Deputy Prime Minister Viktor Zubkov says imports of U.S. chicken could be stopped as of January 19th in connection with the chlorine issue. Europe's incoming farming commissioner voted Friday to continue and, if possible, increase budgetary support to farmers, adding that the risks of cutting support were too high. Agriculture makes up about 40% of the 27-nation bloc's total budget, worth some $180 billion annually. The EU plans to overhaul its complex agricultural policy and the budget that goes with it, and wants to simplify the system by removing some of its inequalities and focusing on more targeted programs by 2013. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices rose more slowly than expected in December from November on modest gains in food and energy costs. The Labor Department said its consumer price index rose 0.1% last month after rising 0.4% in November. Price rises slowed as gasoline increased 0.2% after surging 6.4% in November. Food costs increased 0.2% last month after gaining 0.1% in November. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that we'll post that second program to the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Of course, we'll talk about the USDA's crop production and grain stocks reports that were released on Tuesday. Our guest this week is Chip Flory from Pro Farmer. It all happens on Commodity Week, and you can listen to it online anytime you'd like at willag.org. Now, up next, you know the price and the price swings in commodities are higher and wider than they have been historically. The question, of course, is if this increased price is a product of the volume or number of trades being done. As you'll hear, the ag economist at the University of Illinois argue the answer is no.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Take any commodity from crude oil to corn. The price today is much higher than the historical average, despite being way off the recent tops. Now, some argue this is because so much extra money has flowed into the commodity markets, or that more trades are being done. The volume, or number of trades, has increased, and consequently that has caused the higher prices. Well, the ag economists at the University of Illinois say that's not likely the case. Here's Daryl Good and his take on higher commodity prices pushing farmers into the less risky options market. Some would argue that by default, because more farmers are using options, the price of the options must go higher.
If the argument that is increased volume of trading would increase the price, if that's the argument, I don't think that's correct. I think it's the same argument that we try to counter in the futures market, that just increased volume and increase activity does not necessarily increase futures prices. That, to some extent, we would argue that the volatility and the higher prices attract volume, that the volume doesn't really cause the higher prices and the volatility. So that's a point of debate. You could argue that the more volume you had, maybe the more competitively prices would be established. And but either way, as long as you've got extreme volatility, option premiums are going to be pretty expensive. I mean, whether there's a lot of trading or not trading, they have to reflect, the premiums have to reflect the market's anticipation of the magnitude of volatility in the prices. And certainly when you're looking very far into the future and you get so much time between transaction and maturity, that time value is going to be very, very high, I think, on options.
Volatility in price is usually thought of as the swings up and down over time. It is something of a measurement of risk, and certainly, says Daryl Good, has increased in the agricultural grain and oilseed commodities over the last 2 years.
Well, certainly in terms of absolute magnitude of price swings, you know, over the last 2 years, they have been historically large. I mean, when you go from $8 beans to $13 beans, $5, that's historically a big swing. Corn, you know, we went from, you look at late 2006, we were at $3 and we went to $7. Percentage-wise, it's still a big swing, probably historically near the high that we've experienced. So if you just look at the range in prices, you'd say, yes, that by that measure of volatility, it has exploded. I think if you also look at the fluctuation in prices, how we move through the marketing year, and how often prices change, and how in what increments they change during the year, that definition of volatility, you'd say, yes, we've been very volatile. And I think if you measure it by option premiums, we would say, yes, we've had a lot of volatility in the market, which has made options a bit more expensive than they have been in the past. So I think just about by any measure, where you think in price range, frequency of changes, increments of change, option premiums, we're in a very unsettled market environment.
One way to view volatility is as more risk and potentially more reward. As to the much maligned long-only index funds, if they're truly entering the market and not exiting, then Daryl Good says it is unlikely increased volatility can be attributed to the long-only index fund. Volatility, or the price swing, is an attribute best laid on the speculator. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. In just 2 minutes, I'll return when we'll talk with meteorologist Steve Hilberg about the agricultural weather forecast for the state, the nation, and the globe.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Governor Pat Quinn says he's committed to raising the state income tax to come up with more money, even though he never used the phrase tax increase during his recent State of the State address. Quinn said today his proposal to raise the state tax rate 50% is the best plan. He wants to lessen the impact on poor and working families by increasing the personal exemption. The Democrat believes lawmakers will pass a tax increase during the first quarter when they return to work after the February 2nd primary. The state deficit is likely to top $11 billion this year. Republicans have assailed Quinn's call for a tax increase in tough economic times. The Champaign County Sheriff's Department is investigating a morning crash that claimed the life of a Penfield woman. Deputies say 58-year-old Janet Park's vehicle overturned on a county road near the village in Kerr Township just past 8:30. An autopsy is scheduled for this afternoon in Bloomington. Officials say a Delta Airlines passenger jet with engine problems made an unscheduled landing at an Indianapolis International Airport today. Airport spokeswoman Susan Sullivan says the Boeing 737 landed safely around 8 this morning and no injuries were reported among the 160 people on board. She says the flight originated in Minneapolis and was bound for Atlanta. Sullivan said mechanics were making repairs to the jet and the passengers boarded a replacement aircraft at midday. An Illinois National Guard soldier in Afghanistan has been charged by the U.S. Army with possessing child pornography over pictures of a young relative his mother says she sent him. Terry Miller of Galesburg says she sent her son, Specialist Billy Miller, pictures of the little girl to help him get over his homesickness. The pictures showed the child in a swimsuit playing in a wading pool and sitting on a truck. In one, the girl is wearing a swimsuit and part of her buttocks are exposed. The Army says Miller will stay in Afghanistan until his court-martial. Terry Miller says the pictures are innocent. About 200 volunteers will be knocking on doors in Champaign-Urbana this weekend with a focus on low-income neighborhoods with more vulnerable to fires. Coordinator of the Fire Prevention Outreach Program, Dave Tomlinson, says many homes aren't properly equipped with smoke or carbon monoxide detectors and may need batteries. January 16th is recognized as Martin Luther King Day of Service. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On a Friday afternoon, time to check the agricultural weather forecast for the state and the nation and the Midwest. Along with us today, Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located right here on the Illinois State Water Survey and the U of I campus. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather. It's been a bit warmer over the past couple of days.
Last couple of days, yes, it's been warmer, but relative to normal, not that much above normal. We're getting into mid-January now, so here in central Illinois, our average highs are in the mid-30s. And we're, you know, in the low 30s right now, so that's just hovering a little bit south of normal. But overnight lows like last night, we did not get below freezing last night in a lot of areas. So first time that's happened in a long time, and that's contributing to the significant snowmelt we've been seeing. Overall for January, though, we're still, all of Illinois is well below normal, anywhere from about 6 to 12 degrees below normal. So by the time it's all over, we could actually end up with a near-normal month if the warm weather holds on.
Speaking of that warm weather, usually if we have warmer temperatures overnight and we have a snowpack, it turns into fog. Is that going to happen to us again this evening?
Yeah, probably. Well, with all the moisture in the air, it certainly will be more likely. And if we get any kind of break in the clouds where we get some radiational cooling overnight, that will certainly contribute to some fog formation. So that's about the worst of it we're going to have to worry about for a while. It doesn't look like we're in for much in the way of precipitation. It's been a dry month. Even though we had all that cold weather and some snow, it was dry. Parts of southern Illinois, southern Indiana could be get some rain late in the weekend as this storm comes up through the Gulf Coast. But other than that, not much in the way of precipitation on tap until maybe midweek next week when another system coming through could bring some rain showers to Illinois and Indiana. And there are signs that we'll probably get back into the cold air eventually. One of the indices that we look at is trending negative again as it was in December and January. So perhaps by the last week of January, we'll be seeing some colder weather again.
Maybe you could, since we're still in the month of January, recap for me what 2009 looked like as a weather year from a climatologist perspective?
Extremely interesting. We were all over the place on on weather. We had, of course, record cold in July and again in October. We had record rainfall in many areas, especially in the fall in October and back in the spring. Overall, it was a wet and cool year across Illinois, and very unusual in a lot of respects, a lot more than we have time to talk about.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today.
All right, Todd.
That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. It belongs to NOAA, located in the Illinois State Water Survey here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. That is our Friday edition of the Closing Mark Report. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org and listen to Commodity Week this evening after about 6 o'clock. Our guest today will be Chip Flory. We record at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.